I shouldn't have taken it. I tell myself this over and over, even now, even as my fingers trace the edges of the brittle pages. The paper feels too thin, too ancient, as though the oils of my skin might erase the words. And maybe they should. Perhaps they were never meant to be read. I found it in the basement archives of St. Augustine's library, a place so forgotten that even the dust seemed layered in history. The room smelled of rot and neglect, and the books there were wrong, not in content, but in their presence. Forgotten, discarded things that shouldn't have existed in the first place. I wasn't looking for it. I was supposed to be researching something else, digging through old theological texts for an article I'd been assigned, a mundane academic piece about apocryphal gospels. Nothing dangerous, nothing blasphemous. And yet, it was there, hidden beneath a stack of untranslated fragments wrapped in a leather cover that had darkened with age. At first, I thought it was just another fragment of scripture, another lost voice from the early days of Christianity, buried under the weight of canonical doctrine. But when I peeled back the cover, I immediately knew this was something else. The words were handwritten, but not in Greek, Latin, or Aramaic. I couldn't place the script, yet it felt familiar, like something I should recognize, but didn't. I ran my fingers over the ink. It wasn't dry. The first line translated easily enough. And he spoke, and the heavens wept, for they had seen the first death of God. I frowned, my mind immediately rejecting the phrase. The first death of God. That was absurd. Heretical. I turned the page. The ink shifted. I could have sworn, just for a second, that the letters moved, reshaping themselves into something new before settling back into their original form. I blinked. It had to be in my imagination. Too many hours in the dim archive room, reading by the flickering light of a desk lamp that should have been replaced years ago. But as I stared at the page, a growing unease I couldn't explain enveloped me. It wasn't just the fear that gripped me. It was a primal dread, a sense of impending doom. It was recognition. It was a recognition that tugged at the edges of my memory like I'd seen these words before, somewhere between dreams. And as I turned another page, the lamp beside me flickered twice and went out. The room was silent. But in the darkness, I swore I heard something breathing. I should have left it there. I should have walked away, let it gather dust in the archive, forgotten like it was meant to be, but instead, I took it home. It wasn't theft, I told myself. It wasn't even particularly valuable. No historian had catalogued it. No theologian had written about it. It didn't exist in any official record. So why did I feel like I was carrying a crime in my hands? By the time I reached my apartment, the sky had darkened into an unnatural shade of gray. Not night, not storm clouds, just off. I could still see the city skyline below my window, but something about it felt distant. Or maybe it was me that felt distant. I locked my door, sat down at my desk, unwrapped the book. The leather binding had cracked in places, but the pages inside were perfectly intact. No signs of aging, no crumbling papyrus. The ink was impossibly dark, as though it had been written yesterday. I hesitated before opening it again, suddenly aware of the sound of my breathing. The apartment was too quiet. I turned to the first page. And he spoke, and the heavens wept, for they had seen the first death of God. I ran my finger beneath the words, mouthing them silently. Something about the phrasing unsettled me. Not just the meaning, but the structure. The first death of God. The implication was clear. There had been more than one. I turned the page. The passage continued. For before the throne there were three, and one was devoured, and one was bound, and one remained. And the one who remained took the throne, but he was not the first. My mouth went dry. This wasn't a known gospel. This wasn't an alternate version of a biblical story. This was something else. Something that shouldn't exist. The text did not mention Jesus. It did not mention Yahweh. It spoke only of the one who returned. I flipped ahead, my fingers trembling slightly. The text consistent. A steady, careful hand had written it. Methodical and precise. And yet, the ink still looked wet. A passage caught my eye, and as I read it, an uneasy chill ran through me. The one who remained made a covenant with the people, and they called him God, though he was not the first. And he took the name of the first, and the people did not know. And those who saw the truth were made silent. I swallowed hard. A forgery. It had to be a hoax. But my mind wouldn't let it go. The implication was horrifying in its simplicity. What if the God humanity worshipped was not the first? What if he was something else? The air in my apartment felt thick. I flipped the page. The words were there, clear, crisp, perfectly legible, but the moment my eyes settled on them, my vision blurred. The letters seemed to twist, shift, unravel. I blinked hard. The letters were bleeding. The ink, I realized, was spreading, leaking into the margins like veins beneath the skin. I pushed back from my desk, heart hammering. It was an optical illusion, a trick of the mind. I looked away, breathing heavily. I ran a hand down my face, trying to steady myself. When I looked back at the page, the words had changed. I slammed the book shut. For a long moment, I just sat there, staring at the leather-bound cover, my breath too loud in the silence of my apartment. My hands felt unsteady, my fingers still tingling where they had touched the pages. It was a trick of the mind. I had been reading for too long, and the strain of translation was messing with my perception. This was the only logical explanation, and yet... I glanced at the book again. I hadn't imagined it. The words on the page had been different. The ink had moved. I stood up abruptly, pushing my chair back so hard it nearly toppled over. I needed to clear my head. I grabbed my phone and checked the time. Past midnight. Had it been that late when I started reading? The apartment felt wrong. It was not cold or dark, but off. The air was heavy, like a storm pressing down on the walls. I walked to the bathroom and flipped on the light. It buzzed for a second before flickering to life. I leaned over the sink, splashed water on my face, and took a deep breath. Then, I looked up. My reflection wasn't looking back. It was still frozen. Just half a second too slow. A delayed mirror image, lagging behind my movements as if it had forgotten what to do. I inhaled sharply, my stomach twisting. The rational part of my brain screamed. It was just your eyes playing tricks on you. A fatigue hallucination. But my reflection blinked, just a second too late. I backed away from the sink, my pulse hammering. The light flickered. For just a second, my reflection smiled. I hadn't. The moment the bulb steadied, it was gone. A reflection perfectly normal again. Mirroring me, exactly. I turned off the bathroom light and walked out quickly, chest tight. I needed sleep. I needed to not think about this. I didn't look in the mirror again. I barely slept. The feeling of wrongness stayed with me through the night, pressing against my thoughts no matter how much I tried to dismiss it. I dreamed of black ink spreading like veins across a page, of voices whispering in languages I didn't understand. I woke up just before dawn, the faintest blue light spilling through the window. For a moment, I thought I was imagining it, the lingering haze of sleep playing tricks on me. But the sound was real. Someone was breathing in my room. A rasping inhalation, these slow, careful exhales, like someone was standing just out of sight, just beyond the edge of my bed. I didn't move, didn't breathe. The sound continued, slow and deliberate, as if whatever it was wanted me to hear it. I turned my head slightly. Nothing. My bedroom door was shut. No one was there. And yet, the sound remained. And then, a whisper. A voice just above the sound of my heartbeat. I couldn't make out the words, but I understood the meaning. Keep reading. I sat up so fast I nearly fell out of bed. My room was empty. The breathing was gone. But the book... the book was open on my nightstand. I hadn't left it open. Hadn't even brought it into my bedroom. But there it was. Its pages turned to a passage I didn't remember translating. My hands trembled as I reached for it, my stomach churning with nausea. I shouldn't. I knew I shouldn't. But I read it anyway. And the one who remained took the name of the first, and none who spoke it knew. They prayed to him, and he heard, but he did not love them. For he was not the first, and he was not the last. He was the hollow, and the hollow does not weep. A chill ran through me. I turned the page. The ink was still wet. I didn't go back to sleep. I sat in the dim light of my apartment, the book opened on my desk, untouched since I'd read that last passage. The ink was dry now. The pages were still. But I knew what I had seen, what I had felt. I was exhausted, my body aching from lack of rest, but every time I closed my eyes, I swore I could hear something, a whisper at the edge of my thoughts. Not words, exactly, just the sense of something waiting. I needed to get out of my apartment. I took the subway downtown, hoping that movement, noise, people, anything would shake off the feeling creeping beneath my skin. But something was wrong with the city. Or maybe something was wrong with me. At first, it was small things, little inconsistencies. A streetlight I was sure had always blinked yellow now shone a constant, unwavering green. A billboard that had once advertised perfume now displayed a blank, black screen. I could rationalize those things. Coincidence, a faulty memory. But then, I started noticing the people. The subway was full, commuters packed in shoulder to shoulder. I could feel the heat of their bodies and the press of arms against mine, but there was no noise. No one was talking, no rustling of newspapers, no clatter of keyboards, no muffled music leaking from headphones. Just silence. I gripped the metal pole beside me, my fingers slick with sweat. I turned my head slightly, scanning the faces around me. Too still, too blank. A man standing across from me caught my gaze. He looked normal at first, Tan coat, dark eyes, hands tucked into his pockets. But something about him made my stomach clench. His mouth was moving, but no sound was coming out. I stared, my breath catching in my throat. His lips formed words, but I couldn't hear them. I squinted, trying to make them out. And then, suddenly, he stopped. His lips froze mid-sentence. Then, slowly, his head tilted toward me. Like he had just realized I was watching. Like he had just realized I wasn't supposed to be here. I tore my gaze away, heart hammering. The train screeched to a stop, and I shoved toward the doors, nearly tripping over my feet as I stumbled onto the platform. I didn't look back. I found myself at the university without fully deciding to go there. The building was familiar, comforting in its sterility. Fluorescent lights, polished floors, the distant echo of footsteps down long hallways. It was quiet here, too, but not unnaturally. Just academic silence. I needed answers. I needed someone else to tell me I wasn't losing my mind. There was only one person I could think of. Dr. Avery, a professor of religious studies, expert in apocryphal texts. And the only person I knew who might recognize whatever the hell I had found. When I got there, his office door was ajar. The overhead light was off, but a dim glow seeped in from the hallway. Dr. Avery? My voice sounded too loud in the stillness. No response. I stepped inside. His desk was messy, papers stacked haphazardly, books spread open as if he had been in the middle of something and left in a hurry. Then I saw it. The book. It sat at the center of his desk, identical to mine. My stomach twisted. I reached out with a shaking hand and flipped over the cover. A single phrase had been scrawled across the first page in frantic, jagged handwriting. Do not speak his name. I exhaled sharply, my pulse roaring in my ears. A floorboard creaked behind me. I turned, heart slamming against my ribs. Dr. Avery stood in the doorway, but something was wrong. His clothes were disheveled. His face was pale, slick with sweat. His eyes wide, bloodshot, unfocused. Dr. Avery, I started, but he took a sudden, staggering step forward. His mouth moved. At first, no sound came out. Then, how much did you read? His voice was raw, hoarse, like he'd been screaming for hours. I swallowed hard. Just a few pages. I don't understand. His entire body jerked at my words like I had struck him. He took another step forward, too fast, too sudden. His breath came in ragged gasps. You have to stop, he whispered. You have to stop before you see. He cut off with a sharp inhale, his gaze flickering past me. I turned instinctively. The office window reflected both of us in the dim light. Dr. Avery, and behind him, a third figure. Tall, faceless, watching. I spun back, my stomach lurching. Dr. Avery, we need to... But he was already moving. He lunged for the book, tearing at the pages, ripping them apart with shaking hands. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His voice cracked. You cannot read it. You can't. He stopped abruptly, his hands still mid-motion, his fingers still clutching the torn fragments. For a long moment, he just stood there, frozen. Then, his head snapped toward me. His eyes were wrong. Too dark, too empty, like something else was looking through them. The words on the torn pages shifted. Not physically, Not in any way I could honestly describe. But somehow, I knew they were different now. The meaning had changed. Dr. Avery smiled, and I knew instantly that whatever was in the gospel had already taken him. I ran. Dr. Harvey's smile stayed with me, buried into my mind like an afterimage of something I wasn't meant to see. His eyes were hollow and stretched too wide, and something else was staring out from inside him. I didn't want to hear what he would say next. I bolted from his office, shoved past the half-open door, my breath coming in short, panicked gasps. I needed to get out. The hallway stretched before me, impossibly long, too long. I skidded to a stop. My heart hammered. I knew this corridor. I had walked it dozens of times, but now it extended beyond what should have been possible. The far end of the hall was lost in shadow. No, not shadow. Something else. A darkness that wasn't just the absence of light, but the presence of something vast, watching, waiting. My pulse roared in my ears. I turned. Dr. Avery was behind me, but he wasn't moving. He stood perfectly still, arms at his sides, his mouth slightly open, as though he were mid-sentence. And his eyes were locked onto me, not blinking, not breathing. Just watching. Run. The word burst into my mind, instinctual, primal. I turned and sprinted, forcing myself forward. My footsteps slapped against the tile floor, echoing too loudly in the silence. I reached the stairs and practically threw myself down them, skipping steps, my legs burning. The front doors. I needed to reach the front doors. I burst into the main hall and stopped dead. The doors were gone. In their place was a wall. Smooth, unbroken, featureless. I stumbled back, my breathing ragged. This wasn't real. This wasn't real. The air around me felt thicker, like something was pressing in, wrapping around me, squeezing. Then, a whisper. Do not speak his name. My head snapped toward the sound. Dr. Avery stood at the far end of the hall, near the shadows that shouldn't have existed. He wasn't alone. Figures stood behind him, still, silent, featureless. Some of them wore familiar faces. Faces from the subway, from the library, from the reflections in my mirror. My stomach lurched. I staggered backward, my hands hitting something solid. The book. It was there, sitting on a nearby table, open. I hadn't brought it with me, but it was waiting. The words on the page moved. I watched helplessly as ink twisted and reformed into something new. A single line, clear and sharp and waiting just for me. Your name has been written. My breath caught in my throat. A sound, not a voice, but something more profound. Something behind my thoughts, beneath my ribs, in my blood. And suddenly, I understood. The gospel wasn't a record. It was an invitation. I had read it, and now it has read me. A deep, thrumming presence filled the room, pressing against my skull. A hunger, a calling. Dr. Avery tilted his head. The figures behind him stepped forward, and I realized they weren't going to kill me. They were going to let me live. Let me walk into the world, into the streets, into the crowds. Let me bring him with me. I don't remember leaving the university. I don't remember how I got home. But I'm here now, sitting at my desk, writing this. The gospel is beside me, closed, but never truly shut. I should destroy it, burn it, tear it apart, bury it where no one will ever find it. But the ink is still moving. It's writing something new, and I think it's waiting for me to turn the page. Because there's one last thing I still don't know. My name has been written, but I don't know where or in what. And if I turn the page, I'll likely find out. I can hear my name being whispered now. Not in my voice. Not in any voice I've ever known.
Thank you for listening and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.